write about, trying to figure out what it's all about. Existentialist, am I worth anything or just a scout? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know.
That was great. Sounds Watts with Outside on WNHH LP 103.5 FM New Haven. Myself, Preston, with my partner in crime, Long Island raised, Elm City made, EZ Blues is in the building. EZ Blues, you are always better with introductions more than me. Who do we have with us again today on the program?
Ladies and gentlemen, when you have the opportunity to sit and play with words and to truly understand the concepts and who they truly are, that is one of the most incredible aspects where you can find. When you can go to a spot in your listening podcast world, and you can truly understand someone's perception and point of view, that is podcasting at its finest. And for that, and for not only that, we are here to welcome back to the show the fantastic, the incredible, the phenomenal, and all around great guy, Akil Johnson, is in the building. Welcome, Benvenue. How are you?
I'm wonderful, and that was quite a introduction. Quite an introduction. Thank you. It's good to be back with you guys again. You guys, it was awesome being here. The first time when we did the first recording, that was a wonderful experience. So I'm glad to be back in your presence.
Oh yeah,
and for us to kind of have this you know session again. So.
How many podcasts you get done in like a day or a week? Because you've been doing more work than me, and I got to get up to your level. We got to get up to your level.
No.
We
a lot more than me.
No. We do. So like you've been busy. You've been winning awards. You've been going back and forth. I could be wrong. But break it down to me.
A lot has happened since I've been back on your show, because I think that was when it was season four. I think it was when I was back. Since then, now we're now in season six.
Mm-hmm.
The community around the podcast has expanded somewhat. Awesome. I always refer to them as the board. These are the people that I unpack all of these interesting topics that we like to take deep dives into.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of go about choosing those people based off of how they feel to me in, you know, everyday life. These have been people that I worked with, friends of friends, you know, people who have listened to the podcast and they're like, you know, I love what you're doing and I want to be a part of it.
Yeah.
And so it's very organic, you know, it's an organic community, and I think I've told you guys when I was here last that I program and create from the gut.
Yeah.
And so that's just that I make choices when it comes to who is going to be a part of the community or not, who I want to be a student to, you know, and maybe also a teacher to, but most of the times it's who I want to be a student to. And so it ends up being quite an interesting kind of, you know, fascinating vibe, much like what you guys got. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, that's one of the key things that we love to do around here is, you know, when we're able to tell other people's stories and to really give them the highlight. And that's one of the reasons why the intros are as over the top as they are, you know, is to hit that point of ridiculousness where the other person can just completely relax. We want our guests to know that you are seen no matter what, and you are celebrated for who you are. And
absolutely.
That's why we start off the show the way we do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's definitely felt and definitely appreciated. So, yeah.
One thing that's appreciated, I think we all mutually agreed on this topic, is called mental health. You've been very big on it when it comes to your own podcast for The Poet God. And there's been some specific episodes, if I can say. You know, I'm not going to break it down. I want people to actually go on your Spotify, go on different platforms to listen to you, Poet God. And just like you have different topics focusing on mental health. Me and Easy, or Easy and myself, better wording, had numerous episodes on this podcast where we talked about mental health and, you know, had guests freely just speak our minds on this. This is the first time we actually broke it down with the actual guest ourselves. Just mental health. We're not we don't claim to be professionals, but we just claim to be people from the outside, just talking to our own perception of what we think good mental health should be and how people can like have a great normal routine. Because anybody can have a good routine. A lot of people can get a better routine of what we want to just focus on. Just to start this whole thing off, Akil, what in your definition, how do you define good mental health for a human being?
I think good mental health happens on the foundation of a good relationship with yourself. Getting to a space of where you are you've recognized what your needs are as a person, and you've started to take the steps to address those needs, to create a safe space for yourself to address those needs for other people, to understand what your boundaries are, what your needs are, and to help you and loving you. And it starts with you, but it expands with that community that you have. Hopefully you have people in your life who recognize the importance of that relationship with yourself first, and then how it trickles out to your community, and how your love for yourself then reflects through others, your behavior, what you give, what you accept. You know, those are interesting. Those are always interesting conversations, especially when it's the closer the relationship is. Friendships, if it's a romantic relationship, you know, it becomes, you know, more interesting, more, I don't even like to use that word complicated, because it's there's so much attached to that, but you know, it becomes more interesting and having those conversations about, are you feeling seen? You know, are you feeling heard? Are you feeling understood? All of those things. And the whole thing about listening to people and really hearing them is so critical. That alone is a huge piece for me personally when it comes to the relationship with others and the way others intersect that dynamic of what if I'm feeling stressed or not or whatever, all of that, because you want to be able to obviously share with people when you're going through something, but you don't do that if you don't have a safe space to do it, and you can't have a safe space to do it if you don't feel heard when you speak to that person, if you don't really really feel heard. So it you can't talk about one thing without talking about the other, because they're so right. So
I get your point. There's a lot of layers when it comes to it. There's so many layers. And if you think, when you think you got through all the layers, you really have it, because it's an everyday process. A personal thing for me, for my mental health, has been really helped me out for the past, I think probably about 2 to 3 years now, is deletion. I've been deleting a lot of people who I felt who were just bad for my spirit. Personally or non-personally. It could be a person that, you know, that is only attached to me just for this one thing. It's not really like a disrespect, but just for me just to separate myself and not probably call this type of person anymore. Like, for example, like, there's a friend who always wants to hang out with me because, like, we're playing a poker game. This is not necessarily the situation or example, but it is an example of the situation that may be. But let's just say, for example, like, we go out for a poker game every Tuesday, and the only time we see each other is just for poker. Nothing else. Like, there's no mutual attachment, nothing. It's just for poker, playing, maybe a little gambling every now and then. But I feel that's killing my time, And for me, gambling is just a waste of time because, you know, there's no really fulfillment out of that. So I cut that certain person off, and it's not personally, it's just for make me feel be a better person, just for me to grow. So I had situations where it comes to that, where I can't hang out with this person. I'm just doing this one thing with that particular individual that I can't do no more. And just deletion with people who I think all three of us had this, and it's probably a common problem for everybody, where we get belittled, but in like a slight little way every now and then, where the person enjoys to belittle you, but you don't know it until a late time in life. And you're like, yo, why am I still attached to this for like the 7, 8 years when I feel this friendship is really not going anywhere? So let me just quietly just back myself away from this person because my spirit is no longer aligned with that person anymore because I see better things in my life. So for me, deletion has been a big part in my definition when it comes to my mental health. Easy, what about you?
Well, first and foremost, you played poker and you didn't tell me.
This is just an example of poker. I'm a
Oh,
horrible poker player. You do not want me on the poker
no,
table
I
at
do if
all.
I'm playing against you and I'm trying to win money. See, you're the perfect person I want to play poker with.
Nah, B, nah.
You
You,
know what
no, don't bring people bring
I
me
know,
to the
I got you.
gambling table because they want to save money. So.
Right. I got you. I got you. No, but no, it's super important, and you know, deletion is something that I live by. I mean, I don't speak to half of my family because I look at it the same way that you look at when you want to edit in the house. You pick something up, you hold it for in 20 seconds. If this does not give me joy, I let it go. And I'd gotten to that point with family members. I was like, my relationship with this family member does not give me joy. There's no need for it. I've got to keep, you know, kick rocks. More power to them. And it's a big thing of it's I want nothing bad for these people, for anyone.
No, not at
I
all.
want you to eat and I want you to eat well. I just don't want you to eat at my table. You know, that's something that's always been really big for me, going through. And also to talk to the point of where you didn't want to mention it being complicated, instead of complicated or complex, I usually say multidimensional. Because this way, you know, the relationship is multidimensional. And the difference, like with myself and my editing process, is I'm okay at putting people, meeting people where they are, you know. So that person that I would just be hanging out with to go play poker, that's the extent of our friendship. That's the extent of the relationship that goes forward. Will there ever be opportunity for growth in either direction? Yes, if the other person wants that or something like that, that's fine. But I'm also completely okay with that person just being my poker buddy. You know, because they for that particular point in time, they fulfill that particular need to move forward.
Way to
And
look at it.
you know, socialization, you know, I can consider going and playing poker once a week as socialization as well, something that could be helping, or in my case, taking people's money once a week would help me in many different ways. You know, just putting it out there. If anyone has a poker game, Preston and I will have no problem going to your poker game. We'll be involved. We'll be involved. Just putting it out there.
Oh man, that'd be a shady business.
Is
But
it shady or is it well planned out? Like, let's think about that
oh
for a
man,
second.
trust me, don't please don't give me bad mental health, brother. I love the relationship we got right now. But it's just back to the topic at hand, man. Mental health can just get out there. It's an everyday battle that we have to face every single day, you know? And I'm just trying to just break it down to the best terms I can. You're the only person that can make it better for yourself. No one else knows what's inside your head but you. Don't get me wrong, I'm
Yeah,
not against. Go ahead. I love it how you just cut me off right there. A thought just came up.
Oh, okay. No, I love what you think about deletion, subtraction, because I've been on that journey myself in the last. I mean, truth be told, I have a history of cutting folks off. So, in my 30s, 40s, how should I put this? I give it more thought. I'm not as quick to do it anymore. I give people more grace. I give things time to play out a little bit more so that I could see the other side of the situation. I'm not as narrow-sighted in making those decisions. And so I think, you know, there was a situation, I kind of still am kind of sort of in that situation, but situation with a group of friends who it was kind of situation, you know, when you're hanging out with one person.
Yeah.
And then one person ends up meeting the other friends and they begin their own friendships and, you know.
Absolutely.
So one of those, person A, I had to make a decision about subtracting. And my initial inclination was to just cut them off because I felt that the offense was warranted that. And I did, and then I kind of doubled back probably like a week and a half later, and I asked them to let's meet up and have a conversation about what happened. And after I had the conversation with them, it was clear to me that I made the right decision. But after time passed, I decided in the moment that I was gonna play the long game.
Right.
On purpose.
Right.
On purpose. Right. Because I wanted to see how things would play out differently if I played the long game, if I just stick around, right? And I'm not no one to subscribe to this notion of keeping enemies close.
Yeah.
That's not really what I do, but this time I decided to do that. And it was fascinating, to be honest. It's really fascinating. And I learned a lot more than I would have had I cut them off completely.
Right.
And so sometimes I think maybe the right answer isn't completely cutting them off, but something in between.
Yes.
What the situation is. And I think in each individual situation, you can make a determination about what feels right for that That's individual true, right. or for that situation or for that thing. And sometimes, I don't know, sometimes it's weird when other people are involved who now have a relationship with that person that's outside of you.
Right.
And, you know, and so people, I'm just the type of person who I don't hide my emotions really well. Like, what people tend to know when I'm upset. So, you know, what's been happening is that people who are in the community, they've asking me like, Akil, I sense something is off with you and this person. What's going on? And so I just told them the truth. I just told them the truth about, but I also said to them that the reason why they are still in the space is because I've made a different decision about how I want to go about this time.
Right.
And it makes for really interesting conversation because I think what I've been hearing from a lot of them is that if they did this and this and this to me, what they did to you, there's no way they would be still here, right?
Right.
In this space, sharing this space with us. And then we're having a deeper conversation about grievances and forgiveness and how you can, dualities, which is what we spoke about the last time I was here.
Yeah,
you know, like you can, there are different things that can exist at the same time. Like just because this is happening here, like I could feel this way and have boundaries concerning this situation that happened. And then I could also have, make room for something else to manifest. And it's been, and that's why I said it's been an interesting journey. It's been a fascinating, experience to allow myself to go through that and figure out who I am in that space,
right?
You know, so yeah, I mean, but I said that to say I wanted to ask you, Preston, when you were talking about the whole subtraction and deletion.
Yeah.
Did you get any pushback from the people in question after they noticed the distance or whatever it is that they noticed in conversations that came about? You know, as a result of that shift, because people tend to feel the shift, and sometimes they don't know how to address it.
Some know? Yes, most no, most not at all.
Okay.
As soon as I subtracted a lot of those people from my life, it was crickets. So it was easy to delete those numbers, easy to delete those Facebook contacts, and just easy to move on. The best way to explain this is it's always that person that wants something from you every single time. And it's never like a genuine, like, how you doing? How are you? Let's meet up. Mm-hmm. And you know what I mean? Let's talk about the old times. There's nothing along those lines. It's always wanting something because they feel like you have to do this for them. And they necessarily not have to blatantly say it in text or, you know, through spoken word. It's mainly the energy that you feel how they approach you. And so there were a lot of people, well, not a lot of people, but some people that I cut off, probably about two or three, didn't like my absence because that's how a narcissist is, you know?
Right.
Right. You know, be like,
yeah, no, 100%. Like
two or three narcissists at a time. And there are people who I thought were in my best interests, and they were never in my best interests at all. You know, it was mainly for them and less for me. These were the people who I said earlier in this broadcast, who took pride in belittling me and who took pride in just like killing my self-esteem. And it felt good for them to make me feel bad and to make me feel horrible about myself. So, you know, once I started just to do my own path and my own thing, for example, this program, they didn't really take too kindly to that. So
interesting.
Just when I was going to ask you if we needed to make a list so we could find them.
We don't.
You give me some information that I go, oh, I know who he's talking about.
We don't have to make a list because I feel like this whole like necessary of revenge and getting back at this person, I feel it's just a waste of time. I feel if I'm good and aligned with myself, which I'm still trying to do, I'm still trying to be happy with myself. Because like 100%, I am not happy with myself. I feel I can do better with my life. I feel I can have a better routine, just mentally and physically. So I'm still in that battle, but I'm happy I am, you know, continuing to push to be a better Preston today in front of you. But I'm just happy I'm away from a certain amount of people who take joy to see me be a horrible person.
I think it's amazing that you... Because it takes courage, I think, to say that.
Yeah.
You know, to say that I am at this space with myself, at this juncture with my, you know, personal growth and so forth, because that is not linear, right? It goes, sometimes you have bad days.
Yeah, where you do. You
don't feel okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, things are not okay. And I think it's important to allow yourself the space to not be okay, you know? And it's a beautiful thing where when you have other people in your life that will hold you, whether it's from in person or from a distance, but nurture you in that space and allow you to work through whatever that, because that part is important too, dealing with whatever it is that's coming up. Whatever it is that you're dealing with, because that, to me, it's coming up because it's part of what needs to be healed. Overlooking it and trying to rush through it is not a healthy thing in my mind.
Yeah.
And so one of the things that I did for myself is as you talked about earlier, I wrote poems and stuff about being in that space because.
Oh, speaking of space, I got to talk about this space. WNHH LP 103.5 FM New Haven, myself, Preston, my partner in crime, Long Island raised, Elm City made, if I still want to keep this space on Preston and EC Blues. So go ahead and kill.
No, maintaining one space is very important to the mental health.
That was a great segue. But writing I felt was very therapeutic, and that's probably just because it's part of my what I do.
Yeah,
but I think it's important to find like what your thing is and having that communion with yourself, so to speak.
Yeah,
because it's a powerful exercise. And I find and continue to find that you meet different aspects of yourself that you didn't know, and it continues to blow my mind how when you allow yourself to be vulnerable to yourself,
yeah,
the parts of yourself that you uncover, you discover in that process. So that's why I wanted to put a fine point on that. That is, I love that you're able to say that I'm not here. This is where I'm at. This is what I'm working on.
Of course.
So, because other people listening, other people in your life, who you probably may not even know that are dealing with some stuff that you, they can, talk to you about it.
Yeah, that's why I think so too. You know, like, I truly believe that hurt people, but I do believe hurt people have a choice. You know, everybody has a choice. If I'm hurt, you know, I think you can hurt a boxing bag. You can hurt that workout. You can go harder in that workout. You know what I'm saying? When you exercise, there's different places you can put your anger, because anger gives you energy. Mm-hmm. There's different places you can pour it towards it, and you don't have to put it towards people. In my opinion, I get that fact, how hurt people, you know what I mean? Because like a negative plus a negative is another negative, but you know what I'm saying? Like you can use that anger and that energy to put it towards something else. If you got to take a long walk, take a long walk. If you feel you have to take, which I love now, but I think people abuse a little bit too much, mental health days. If you feel like you have to take a mental health day, you know what I'm saying? Just to, do whatever, just to clear something out your mind, go ahead and just do that, because it's better.
Right.
You to go into a situation with a positive mindset than just go in there with a negative mindset and just mess a whole bunch of other people's day up. Right. But that's just my gospel on that. But I know you were about to say something to Kim.
The other part was what I wanted to know from you.
Yeah, go ahead.
And so far in this process, did you ever have a conversation with yourself or about the circumstances that attracted the negativity or those people who had that negative energy in the first place? Did you ever do that?
It was probably like beginning of the pandemic. It's just the problem I have, just like sticking up for myself and just defending myself when it just comes like verbal battles, when it's even coming physical battles as well too, because I don't like to see people get torn apart. But you know, sometimes I feel like if I yell or like speak my mind, you know, it might be flipped around. I might be the bad guy. Sometimes I have to be comfortable about the bad guy, because I can't control other people's perception or feelings towards me. So that was just the mental space I was in right now. So like, I'm currently trying to battle with that. I'm trying to battle with being okay with being pressed in front of everybody and being proud about it and not caring what anybody else thinks. But I'm also in that space of trying to be respectful when I do it at the same time. But a lot of people treat respect in different ways. So it's hard. Like, for example, I was a manager at a restaurant. And, I was dealing with a whole bunch of teenagers. And teenagers are emotional. And they deal with a whole bunch of feelings. And, you know, everything going around. Right. And we don't have to explain that because we were all teenagers. But, you know, if you talk to a teenager a certain amount of way, and sometimes I felt like a dad. Sometimes I felt like I was a little bit too hard on somebody when the shift was over. Sometimes I felt like maybe I should have approached this situation a little bit better. But, you know, if I feel like I didn't talk to a certain amount of person like that, they wouldn't have done what I asked them in the first place. So, like, a whole bunch of emotions just going through my head. Unfortunately, I was let go from that establishment, but I learned from that. And, you know, maybe it was the right decision for them to let me go because they looked at somebody else and said, this person can do a delegation better than I can. That I had to accept. You know, when I was getting praise from other people saying, oh, you're doing a good job, keep up the good work. But in that regularity, I was focused on those other opinions than more of, okay, what can I do to be better? Because, like, for example, this whole podcasting thing, we're doing a good job talking and like going back and forth with each other, but what can we do to elevate this game a little bit better? You know,
right.
Maybe my camera can be a little bit better. Maybe my audio work can be a little bit better. Maybe I can talk to you more about different topics since I know you about a whole bunch of other times. You know what I mean? Like a lot of people don't really look at themselves when they look at these situations. They focus on the outside and other people's perceptions. And that's just what I've just learned just throughout the years. Maybe I just need more talks with myself to get better. And sometimes I admit I'm a little bit scared to talk to a therapist. I've been saying this a couple other episodes, a couple other past podcasts. I'm afraid to tell my feelings to a stranger who I'm paying. I'm paying this excessive amount of money to, or he's taking money out, you know, my health care, you know, however the payment situations may be. Maybe, you know, I may say something a little bit too personal and they come at me some type of way, and then I'm getting in my feelings, you know, like it's a whole bunch of stuff that I'm trying to explain to you for the best way, but go ahead.
I mean, I think a lot of people have those fears.
Yeah.
But I mean, what are you afraid of? What is it that you are really afraid of?
I'm afraid of me being accepted. Truly, I felt I've never been accepted in my entire life.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Accepted. I'm afraid I'm not valued. And I felt like that for a very, 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 very long time. No matter who I'm with, no matter what environment I'm in, I just never feel like I'm good enough or never feel like I'm treated good enough. And so I'm just at the point right now where I feel I should stop accepting flowers from other people and just build my own garden. And I don't care how long that takes.
Right.
That's at the point I am right now.
So, you know, you saying that kind of, it reminds me of, a conversation that I had with, I can't remember who it was, but I remember one of the things that I said to them, they told me that it was somebody who apparently they loved me. And so, and I said, my response to them was, yeah. How could you love me?
Right.
Because I never gave you all of me to love. I never gave you all of me to love. So how could you love me?
That's fair to say.
And so did you give all of you to love?
Right.
I don't know. I honestly do not know.
And I don't, well, and I'm taking you through what I was working through with myself.
Yeah, I got you.
That's how I, you know, so I, yeah. Go ahead.
No,
go ahead, Easy. Light bulb.
Yeah, no, it's super interesting because I kind of want to reverse unpack that a little bit.
Go ahead.
And really, what is your definition of better?
My definition of better?
Yeah, because there's a reasoning why I say this. What is your definition of better?
I don't know. Maybe I honestly don't know. I'm not gonna say money,
right?
Because you can always get money, no matter where you go. I feel no matter what situation this country's in, you can always, you know, bend yourself. I honestly don't think it's money. But when it comes to actually just feeling better, I'm saying inside the head better. Most times I don't feel like I'm inside the head better. And I don't think money or anything can do that. Maybe it's long conversations I need to have with people. Probably it's conversations I'm never going to have ever in the rest of my life because I've cut these people off, you know? So
you can still have those conversations, though. And you don't need the other person to have the conversation. No, but you can. You can still have those conversations. You don't need the other person there. You can just get everything out that you need to get out.
Right.
So that they no longer hold any piece of you that you know, they could technically hold on to. You know, and a lot of that has to do with just freeing yourself up and freeing just the process there. The reason why I ask your definition of better is because a lot of people, have we all seen The Joker?
Oh, I've seen The Joker. Yeah,
The Joker.
Joaquin Phoenix Joker?
Yes. It is the best line, and the biggest joke in the world is having a mental illness and pretending like you don't have one just to fit in. So if your definition of better is being able to fit in more, that is a little bit different of the way to go about things than also getting better as yourself. Because again, we talk about on the show a million and a half times, you know, my philosophy in life. And again, this is just my philosophy in life. I'm not a board certified anything. I just get bored on a regular basis. you know, my philosophy is I want, you know, true happiness for me is to live as authentically as myself that my very existence bothers someone. You know, and it's not because I feel like I need to fit in more.
Right.
But I need to be okay with the human I am. Mm-hmm. So much so that human I am is the most important human in that aspect of it. But also without losing the fact of you are still part of a community.
Right.
You are still part of a much bigger picture. And the I is very tiny. In the grand scheme of the alphabet, the I is small. If any of that made any sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
It did.
Yeah. 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 I see a lot of my journey myself in you, Preston.
Yeah.
And to Easy's point, I've had those conversations like that where the person that may have caused the trauma, I unpacked it with somebody else who gave me this safe space in order to work through it, to talk about it, to cry about it. Because sometimes the safe space that you probably might have wanted from that other person that couldn't give it to you, you could have it with somebody else that you might not have initially looked to it from, or you know, expected it from. But I'll take healing wherever I can, whatever space allows it, you know.
Right.
And so that was always part of the fact and part of the journey that I encountered. But where I was going earlier was, I think the whole thing comes back to the relationship that you have with yourself and what level you have with that, because I think different levels allow for different things.
Yeah.
I think it's like, you know, playing a game, you do this to unlock that, you know, you got to go through these steps to unlock that level. And so, you know, I hear you when you talk about, you know, just being afraid to go to that step of opening up and not wanting to waste your money if you're not willing to take that step yet with a therapist. I totally understand that. And I also would say to trust your gut, because I feel like when you get in that space with somebody, a new friend probably, I think you'll sense that you can share.
Right.
And that's the part where you'll have to have a little bit of courage and say, let me do what I feel like I can do in this space with them, you know, and then and do it. and trust yourself to do it and celebrate yourself for doing it and keep on doing that, because I think once you keep on doing that, that's part of you loving you. That's part of you actively doing the thing that you need to do to put that action into loving yourself and to take care of yourself, is, you know. So I wouldn't beat yourself up for where you're at or who you haven't trusted, but give yourself the grace and the space to feel out what's next on that journey and you know, go on that path of vulnerability, because it's going to be beautiful. And I can't wait for you to meet who you'll meet, the other aspect of yourself, the other aspects of yourself that you'll meet as you continue to go and unlock other parts of you, because that's what's going to be necessary to unlock. Mm. And for me, it was like, I saw parts of myself that I didn't even, the parts of myself that I didn't have to give to love to other people,
mm.
I discovered. And then I started to learn to love that aspect. And then I could give it to somebody else to love. Then I could give that aspect of myself to somebody to love. So when people say, I love you now,
mm.
I, especially somebody that I've been able to be vulnerable with, that hits different now.
Right.
Because I'm in a different space with myself now. I'm obviously, it's, you know, as long as we continue to breathe, we'll continue to learn. And as long as we're on this journey, we need to expand. So mm-hmm. yeah, I think you give yourself, you're gonna get to meet you, different aspects mm-hmm. of you, and it's gonna be a fascinating journey.
Now, what type of techniques have you been able to use through this journey? How are you documenting the journey, or are you just going through the journey itself? Because I know that one of the things that they taught us in the military is to have mm-hmm. a book of me, right. And all of your accomplishments, all the things to have, so that every time you go up for a promotion, you know, you have that book, and it's great. But I have noticed that if you start to do one of these, you know, personal inventories and take out all the positive things that you do and put it in a book about you and kind of like a workbook, mm-hmm. It helps you process, do some of the shadow work that's necessary to move forward. Do you have any particular type of technique that you move forward with that?
I listen to a lot of self audio tapes.
Mm-hmm.
I think those have been helping me. Weirdly, those have been helping me. It's one of those little drill instructor. You can mm-hmm. do it. Positivity tapes, that angry man just like yelling. It's like, what are you doing with your life? But like, it's like so motivating. If you get what I mean, you know, because there's numerous of those loud, no motivational speakers that like get on the microphone and just say, stop what you're doing and just like get out of it. Like, I like that kind of makes me happy. That gives me some dopamine. But as far as documenting stuff, I haven't documented anything. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll try it. I'm not gonna knock it. I'm not gonna knock any way of self-improvement, because you never know, that could help me in the process. I say probably exercise a little bit more. I have been exercising. That has been really good and therapeutic for me. I say a lot of less social media.
Mm-hmm.
That's been like helping me out. Right. I kind of time my social media every now and then. I like to wake up just me, because like when you see some stuff on social media, it can like drag you down just a little bit, especially like with everything going on. There's so much
mm-hmm.
Craziness going on with just in the news and everything. And like, don't get me wrong, I like to be informed, but like, I want to be informed in parts.
Yeah, I want to be informed. I don't want to be trapped
like all at once when I wake up, when I open that phone, like, oh my goodness, it's gonna be hard to wake up and walk this. This is not a good way to start my day. And I say that is the way. But documenting and taking more stops to talk to myself, and probably just like getting over that step and just getting that courage to talk to someone else and having those conversations, maybe I can break through that cycle. But like, I'm open to all steps, but those are the steps I'm taking. Exercising, meditation. That's one thing I didn't mention. Meditation's been definitely helping me out.
Do you listen to the RZA's meditation tape?
I do not listen to the RZA's Meditation tape.
It's really good. That's why appealing. I asked.
But I listen to lo-fi beats. If you put the lo-fi beats on, you know, lo-fi beats, you know, and in the background, you know, just breathing, like a lot of deep breaths. It's very relaxing. And that has been honestly helping me out. So Meditation, the angry motivational speaker, whatever I have in my headphones. And, you know, exercising a little bit more. So those are my main three. Those were my main three so far.
Be careful with those angry motivational speakers, because then they become a drill sergeant in your head that you can't turn off, and it becomes.
It was like that for a little bit. I'm not gonna lie, it was like that for a little bit. But I kind of, you know, I kind of listen to them on certain days. So it's not like an everyday thing. So I listen to them on certain days. But I totally get what you're saying.
First and foremost, you know, one of the things we do on the show all the time is anytime a guest, you know, truly opens up and shares something big, we thank them for that.
And we thank them on WNHHLP 103.5 FM New Haven, myself, Preston, and my partner in crime, Long Island raised, Elm City made, EZ Blues is in the building with the poet, Gotta Kill Johnson. Go ahead, EZ Blues.
Page 372 of the really cool things Preston does very well. Throwing and segueing, very fantastic.
We got to keep it going because it's not about me.
I'm just saying that should be in the book. That should be in the book. Okay, flowers. All right. But no, it's so super interesting because thank you for sharing. This is you're being super open, super vulnerable. I want to give you that your flowers for sharing with us right now.
Definitely.
Know, and two, you know, I was someone who for the longest time didn't trust therapy. I didn't trust majority of medicine, period, because to me, from a business point of view, they make more money the worse you are.
That's true.
That just stimulates them to find more things wrong with you. But then you go on a mental health journey and, you know, you discover that there are actually 1.5 million things wrong with you and you need to actually go through the stuff. I was for some times in therapy combative with the therapist to the point where I don't know if you've ever seen Good Will Hunting. But I was definitely that.
I love that movie.
I was definitely that guy. I was definitely like, I would read all the books and sit down and be like, okay, well, you say it like this, da, da, da. You obviously have no idea what you're talking about. And I'd make a fool of myself and get everyone aggravated. It wasn't until just like recently that, you know, therapy is something that I do and that it works really well. And 9 times out of 10, it's not stuff that I want to hear. I definitely don't want to hear the majority of it. And I definitely don't want to hear that there's extra work, and definitely don't want to hear that, oh, you've leveled up. You know, it's like the old, you know, I might not be a great video game player, but this, you know, mental health journey of life, apparently I level up every other day, you know, which just means you have more work. I don't get that, but you know,
I get it. But I'm just happy that we get be able to share these stories with ourselves. Enough about us, Akil. What are some ways every day that you practiced just to get up with a better positive mindset and just to more appreciation? How does Akil appreciate Akil? That's what I'm trying to break down.
I mean, you know, life be life, and so that could look very different from day to day depending on where I am. But I've learned to if I'm not feeling well, I've learned to kind of ask myself, okay, what do I need from you today? You know, what is it that feels right? What's gonna give me what it is that I need? And so I have that conversation with myself and try to, you know, be honest and clear about what is it that I feel like I need to be doing in that particular moment. But going back to some of the stuff that you were saying earlier, I do keep a distance from negative energy in general. And that also includes social media and just certain content that that I know is not on the frequency that I want to be on, you know, or helping me to maintain the frequency that I want to be on. So I keep my distance from that. The other thing that's always has become a high vibration boost for me always revolves on something that has to do with this podcast. And it's funny because I remember when I was having that conversation with God about what this was supposed to be, when I was receiving those instructions, I was not on that plane. I was not on that vibration. I was not on that frequency. Season one was particularly difficult for me because I was going to a space that I had never been.
Right.
I had to get there. Right. I think for the first six episodes, I wasn't doing really, really well because I felt like a failure.
Right.
And
right.
The weird thing is in that valley of depression, I wrote a poem called Just Not Today. And it was a poem about that was inspired by a friend of mine's who did not understand depression. He had called me to vent about I think it was his aunt who had committed suicide and left her she had left her son behind. And so he was so angry about the fact that she committed suicide and she left her son behind. And he was saying stuff like, she's so selfish. How could she do this? How could she make this choice? Blah, 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 blah. And I was triggered by the whole situation because the stuff that he was saying was very insensitive to somebody who struggles with depression, which he knew. But I think in that moment, his anger about it, he totally forgot that he was talking to somebody who was struggling, who had dealt with those issues. And he did not know when he was venting to me that I was really in that space at that time. So it was like, you know, so I don't even think I addressed to him on the phone because I couldn't. Right. It was too much.
Right.
I hung up the phone and then I wrote him a long message about it, and I told him, I said, you know, I said, you do not want to understand. You do not want to understand. Understanding somebody who is dealing with depression or how that feels is probably not something that I would wish for you to understand. It's a space that I've come away from that sometimes I wonder how did I even get out of that space? Like, you don't want to be in that space. So I was trying to communicate that to him and trying to use the right words to say that that's a terrible place to be, a terrible thing to understand. His response to it was to be kind of like defensive and so forth and so forth. And so I stepped away from that. He and I didn't speak for like months after that, unfortunately. And I wrote that poem Just Not Today, and basically what the gist of it was saying was that, you know, I know that you're coming from a good place, you're well intentioned, but in this space right now, I can't help you help me because I have to figure out where I'm at. Right, I have to figure out how not to be here. Right. First, and I can't do that and try to help you understand me when I'm trying to understand. I can't be trying to coddle you while I'm in so much pain. I was saying all of those things in that poem, and it turned out that after that was done, I published that, I put that out, that it became one of those things that helped me the most when I was in that space, because I was able to articulate what it felt like. And that really made me, that gave me a sense of empowerment to be able to articulate what that felt like for me, what that experience felt like. And something about that was very empowering for me. And the result was that that was the first time that I felt like I was accomplishing truly the purpose for why I was doing the podcast. Right. That was the first time where I felt like God said to me, that's what you're supposed to do. And that was the time when I felt the worst, you know? Like, so the irony of it is to feeling that low, to go and I have to be that low to express what I expressed, but then coming out of it feeling like, wow, that's the first time that I felt like I hit that frequency of what I'm supposed to be doing. And so that became the North Star, so to speak, that like, even for this to this day, you know, I try to get there with whatever it is that I'm doing, so that I know, okay, I know what vibration feels like. And so even in the creation process, just creating, I want to be in that vibration, because right. that's what I feel like Voltron, right? Like all of the pieces that come together, you know. Exactly. And don't laugh at me, Preston.
He's laughing not, with I'm you. He's laughing with you.
I'm not laughing. He's laughing at with you. You. I'm laughing with you. And unfortunately, I have to close out. It's WNHHLP 103.5 FM New Haven, Akil. I want to get you back for a part two of this. Maybe we can do another one next week, because I think we have a lot of layers we have to break down. And we didn't even get pretty much throughout our whole list that we broke down yet. So we got to get you for our part two next week. I'll text you about it. But
absolutely,
some closing words of just inspiration that only you can bring to our audience. This little bit of time is yours.
Okay. Yeah, I think it's important to be gentle with yourself, that it's a process, and don't be afraid to carve out boundaries and space that tells other people that you won't accept nothing less than love and kindness, and or else don't allow those people in your garden. But you have to be a good steward of that with yourself first, right, and set that frequency, and don't accept anything less, and begin there. That's a good place to begin.
Akil, awesome. We appreciate you, really do, man. We need more of this. This is fun. Myself, yeah. Preston. My partner in crime, Long Island raised, Elm City made, Mr. E. Z. Lewis. Thank you, Poet God.
Thank you.
Wondering what to write about, trying to figure out what it's all about. Existentialist, am I worth anything or just this gown? I don't know.
I don't know.